thought until I was sitting on the couch last evening, and trust me, I've been scouring all week to find something. And I've looked over these scriptures a million times. Beautiful scriptures. I've read them. I've probably preached on them. I may have preached them here. I don't know. But as I was going to get in my car last Sunday evening, and I had preached about the circumcision of the heart and how when a person is saved that God circumcises the heart of man, and that once we're saved we're to have a close personal relationship with Christ, I walked, and as I got in the car and shut the door, and this thought came to me, and it was the things I cannot do alone. And I have tried all week to get that thought to go away. I studied other things. I come up with other sermons that probably would have been knockouts any other time. I didn't know what to do with it. I've thought all week about the things I can't do alone. All of us have things that we cannot do alone. Every one of us, whether you're saved or you're lost, there are things you cannot do by yourself. I've said this before and I will say it again this morning. I like to do things the Taylor way. I've often thought if the world would do everything the way that I want them to do it, the world would be a whole lot better place. But guess what? I don't know everything. But God does. And so I thought as I was sitting on the couch this week, I had a snow day on Friday, and boy did I enjoy it. And as I was sitting there and I had that thought, if everybody did everything the way that I wanted them to, the world would be a lot better place. And then the thought swirled across my mind, if everybody did everything the way God wanted them to, the world would truly be a better place. And I thought, why is that? Because God knows everything. He's an omnipresent, all-knowing God that is everywhere at all times. And I'm glad that He is. I'm glad that He is. He is everywhere. He knows all things. He not only created everything, He is all things. What kind of God do I serve? And I thought about the things that I cannot do alone. The title for this morning is When I Am Alone. We know Jonah's story. Most of us have gone to Sunday school at some time in our life, and someone has taught us about this man that got swept up by the sea and then was eaten by a great fish. And they call it a whale. I don't know if it was. It says it's a great fish. But if you look in the second chapter of the book of Jonah, and we're going to read this. We're going to have to go back just a smidgen to get everything we want to get. So if we'll start in the 17th verse of the first chapter, we'll begin our reading. It says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I." Now I want to explain something just really quickly. This is not talking about the eternal hell that is where sinners go when they die who have not been saved. This is talking about the grave or the place that Jonah thought was his grave. This is not the everlasting fire hell. This was Old Testament hell that they were talking about. He said, "Cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and all the floods compassed me about. All the billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds wrapped about my head. And I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God? When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. The Lord had spoken to Jonah over in the first chapter, and he said, you go to Nineveh and you cry against that great city. But Jonah didn't want to go. So Jonah, being a man much like I am, tries to get out of what God has asked him to do. So Jonah gets on this boat there at Joppa and he tries to go to Tarshish. He pays his fare, he gets on the boat, and here he goes. And so we're out at sea, and all of a sudden this great storm rises up and these men are scared. And they begin to ask, why has this happened to us? What have we done to God that He would do this to us? And they begin to cast lots, and the lot fell at Jonah. And Jonah said, it's me. It's me, all right. I'm the reason that we're in this mess that we are in. And so they finally end up asking, well, what are we going to do? The storm begins to get worse and worse. And he says in the 8th verse of this first chapter, he says, then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation and whence comest thou? What is thy country and of what people art thou? And he tells them that he's a Hebrew. And he says, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. And he says, the men were afraid of what was going on. And they ask, why have you done this? For they knew not. For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. It says, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. I guarantee you, Jonah thought, well, if they throw me overboard, I'll be out of all of this. I won't have to go to Nineveh. I won't have to go to Tarshish. I'll just be dead and I'll be all alone and nobody will have to worry with me. So here they go. I'm going to tell you, it probably didn't take them a lot long to get over there and wrap their arms around his hands and his feet and toss him overboard. They wanted the storm to cease. And so they get over there and they toss him overboard. And here's Jonah, all alone in the middle of the sea. Or so we thought. But here comes this great fish. Now, I don't know how many of you all, and I can vouch for myself and say that I have not been, but I have never been in the belly of a fish. Raise your hand if you have been. Good, I didn't think so. None of you have ever been there. But I will guarantee you this, it's a lonely place. There's nobody else there with you. Nobody. Except some weeds that got wrapped around Jonah's head real nice and tight. Probably didn't feel so well. I can't imagine he had a whole lot of room to be kicking and rolling around. He was probably just there. And don't you know he felt all alone? Just as if he was just there and that's all that he had. And he begins to cry out. Sounds a lot like you and I sometimes. It says he began to pray unto the Lord, his God, out of this fish's belly. And then he begins to say, mine affliction. Look where I am, God. Just look and see that I am all alone. What does it say that Jonah said? He said he heard me. Was Jonah alone? No. Jonah was not alone there, but he thought that he was. So he began to cry out and ask God for what? His help. I told you, I like to do things the Taylor way. And so I probably, if I have a problem, I won't ask you for help. So I want to do things my way. But you know what? Everybody in the world, when they hit a dark spot, they ask God for help. I've seen people that didn't even confess to believe in God. All of a sudden, I'm in this place and I need your help. Been there? Seen that? I have.
You see, we get in shape sometimes and we begin to call out and we begin to ask God and we feel like we are all alone on our own little island. I want to sidestep just a moment and say this. If you are lost and out in sin at this very moment, I hope to the good Lord in heaven that you do feel alone. Because you're going to be by yourself one day. There'll be all these people around you and you'll be all alone with nobody to listen. But right now, there is somebody that is listening to you. For saved people, guess what? We are not alone. Aren't you glad this morning that even if we get down to the belly of a fish in the middle of an ocean, He called it hell. I imagine it was a lot like hell. It was his grave, or so he thought. But then God heard him. And what did he say? He said, I will look again unto thine holy temple. Amen. You know what Jonah knew at that very moment? I'm getting out of this. Why? He said, I'm looking again to your holy temple. Now, I believe he knew that he was going to get out at that point. All of us have been somewhere where we feel alone. When I moved out, all of these people kept saying, don't you know that you're going to feel alone? I never feel alone. In some respects. Never once since God saved my soul have I been alone. Now, there might not be a whole lot of people around to talk to, but I'm not alone. Because there's always somebody that I can turn to. Jonah had nobody in body to turn to. No friends, no family, no church members, nobody except one person. I love all of you this morning. If I was going to get in a fight, I'd take all of you with me. I'd want you on my side. But I want you to understand one thing. I would give you all up for God. If you don't agree with that, bless your heart. I love you all more than I love myself. But God means more to me than you do. And that means a lot. Because in the depths of my very soul, when I feel alone, God is there. Back in December, you all may not have known, but I did. From this side of the pulpit, I was alone. If you've ever stood behind the sacred desk and tried to preach, sometimes you get up here and you feel all alone. Like you have done all that you know to do. But God, when He helps us out, it is the best place I've ever been in my life. I'd rather preach to you all than I would like to eat, and you can tell that I enjoy that. But I'm not alone up here. You Sundays in December, I got up here by myself, and it wasn't pretty. And I'm going to tell you this morning, every one of us, from the weakest to the strongest, we need God. Every single one of us. You don't think Jonah didn't need God? Who else was going to get him out of this predicament? If I go out here today, jump in Percy Priest Lake, or drive over to the coast, jump in the ocean, and a big old fish swallows me, you think anybody's going to get me out of there? Other than God's divine help, I think I'm stuck where I'm at. But you see, you know exactly who sent that fish over there for Jonah? God Himself. I preached a sermon. I looked it up. Right after I came here, I don't know if God called me yet to pastor, or I had been called and was just preaching until I was ordained. But I preached a sermon. It said, thank you for this valley. You ever had a valley before in your life? I have. This was Jonah's valley. When I thought about people being alone, sometimes, as David said, lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. Why is that? It's because God is present in every part of our lives. And guess what? Sometimes God sends a valley. Sometimes He sends a fish. Sometimes He sends a heartache. Sometimes He sends things in our lives that we don't understand. There's a lot
this old life that I don't understand, but God does. He created it. He made it all. He knows everything. If you feel alone this morning, I want you to know something. You have somebody to turn to. If you're lost, you have God to turn to. He'll save that soul and you'll never be alone. But even as saved people, sometimes we feel alone. As I told you, when I got up here and tried to preach by myself, I felt so far away from anything that represented God. It would have just been better for me if I had said, y'all get a song together. Let's go to the house and find something else to do. I was alone. But I'm going to tell you, when I got to pray, just like Jonah, there's a song I've been listening to this week. Talk it over with Jesus, and He will make it right. You know something this morning? We lack talking to our God. As Brother Jimmy said this morning, that prayer is a tool that we all can use. You know what Jonah had to rely on? Prayer. He had gotten down to the lowest part of his life in the middle of this ocean with this fish that just swallowed him up. He said, then cried I. You know what we need to do this morning? I don't cry. If I do, it's rare. But all of us, God's people, we need to cry out to the Lord. We've got to stop expecting God to hear something piddly and little from us. We need to cry out from the very depths of our soul. Lord, in our affliction, do you realize we're an afflicted people? Why? Because we're sinners. And we need God's help to make it through one more day in this old sin, cursed land of sin and sorrow. We need one more day for Him to help us. Because why? Because God has not promised us one more day. I love what Jonah and the Lord talked about. I believe in talking to God. You may not. If you don't, bless your heart. If you say you're saved and you've never talked to God, I'm going to encourage you to figure out what you've got in here. If you're not saved, you can't understand talking to God until you've really had Him in your soul and you can talk to Him. If I laid a cell phone out here this morning and it started ringing, I guarantee you one of you would stand up, come down here, answer that thing because it'd drive you crazy. How long? And I preached this another a couple Sundays ago about how long has it been since we've seen the glory of God. I realize that. How long has it been since every single one of us say, preacher, I pray every day. I do this every day. How long has it been since you genuinely got in touch with God? How long? When I began to tell you about December, there was a night I'd gotten done preaching here. It was after Sunday and I got home and I felt about, well, if I could cut a big hole in this and go down below it and go down under the church and down under the ground and crawl it, dig another hole inside that one, that's about as low as I could feel. And I began to say, Lord, if I'm still going to preach, you're going to have to help me. And He said, well, I should have been helping you all along. And I thought, what a novelty that everything that I have, I would take to God first. What a novelty. Have you ever heard somebody say, when all else fails, talk to God? No, 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 no. The first things first, take it to God. You can't help nothing, but God can. You can't do anything on your own without God's help. Guess what? If you want to walk to those doors this morning, you better ask God to help you with it because He's the one that gives us the strength to do it. You want another breath? You better ask God for it. He's the one that gives us every breath that we have got. You can't take a breath without Him giving it to you. So guess what? Whether you're lost or saved, you are dependent on God. Everything, you're dependent on Him. Sixth verse, He said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. We talked about this Wednesday night. When God said He remembered, there's been three ladies there that says He has remembered.
He didn't forget about them. He knew all about them. He knew all about their afflictions and what they were into. I don't think Jonah forgot about God. I think he just thought, well, I can do this on my own, and I'll figure out a way to do it on my own. And since I have figured out how to get away from going to Nineveh, I know best. So see, Lord, look what I've done. And then he got down to the belly of this fish and he said, oh, wait a minute. Look where I'm at. And he says, I remember the Lord. And so what did he do? He said, my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. Guess what? It's not getting there unless he actually got in touch with God. I'm talking about actually getting in touch with God. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands this morning, but if you've been saved this morning for any length of time at all, every one of us have had a prayer that we have tried to pray and it failed like a rock was attached to it. Every one of us. I've done it. You've done it. I've gotten up here and I've tried to pray before this very congregation and it sunk right down to the basement of this church. Probably lower than that. Once it got to the ground, it probably split it open and went farther. But then there's those times when we get in touch with God and they go straight into that holy throne room of God. Oh, and they get in touch with Him. You ever just been praying and you know that you are in touch with God? Your prayers are interceding to the very throne that God sits on. Ever been there? Those are beautiful times. Oh, and I enjoy when I can sit down and I can talk to the Lord. Over there in Matthew, he says, when thou pray. He doesn't say if you pray or when you pray. He said, because he does say when you pray. But when you pray. He's not asking you if you want to. He's not asking if you think you should. He says when you pray. Meaning you need to do it.
Amen.
Every single one of us. If you've been saved 3 days, or 70 years, you are not outside the bounds of praying to God. Every one of us needs God's help.
Amen.
But then things change. You know what Jonah starts doing? Lord, I'll do it. Lord, I'll do it. I've told you all several times. Some of you have heard it. Some of you maybe haven't. But before... Actually, the first time I ever left here, I got in the floor at home and began praying to God. I said, Lord, I'm not going. And he said, oh, yes, you are. Lord, I'm not doing that. Oh, yes, you are. When God says do something, guess what you had better do? You had better do it. Whether you all realize or not, I was coming one way or another. I got my answer. And so Jonah gets his answer. Really, too, because he was in the middle of the, he was in the belly of this fish. If there's no greater answer than you're not doing what you had supposed to do, then you're in the belly of this fish. I don't know what else I can send you to let you know, Jonah. So you're here. Now, I want to point something out. You cannot barter with God. You're not going to trade things. You're not going to say, I'm going to give you this, but you're going to do this for me. It does not work that way. Guess what happens? When we get saved, we offer everything to God. If you don't offer everything, you've not gotten saved. Because God says you have been bought with a price, you've been purchased. You are not your own. You are mine. You belong to me. Everything belongs to Him. You belong to Him, both mind, body, and soul. Everything about you belongs to Him. You can say, preacher, I didn't ask for it to be that way. You didn't get a say in the matter. It doesn't matter what you think. Because if you got saved, guess what? You gave it to Him. It belongs to Him. And so Jonah says, oh Lord, I'll do it. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. And I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. If you'll get me out of here, Lord, I'll go over there and I'll tell them all that I vowed to tell them, that salvation is of the Lord. What does it say? It says, the Lord spake unto the fish. Does it say Jonah got to knocking around in there, kicking on all of his stuff, and that fish vomited him out on his own? It says, the Lord spake unto the fish. Who has dominion over everything? God Himself. He has dominion over the stars in the sky, the sun that shines, the moon that comes up every night, the snow, the rain, the wind. He has dominion over everything. Everything that lives, He has dominion over you. You, as I told you already, you belong to Him. You say, preacher, I'm lost. Guess what? You are His creation. He has the power to take your body and your soul and cast you straight to hell. He has that power over every single one of us. But you know what happens to those that have been sealed and saved by the grace of God? We are protected from that wrath. Amen. We are protected from that. But you're not. So it says, He spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah onto the dry land. And so God tells Jonah, He says, you go and you preach to Nineveh. Guess what? Jonah goes over there and he preaches to Nineveh. Just a few words. And it turned that whole city on its head. And they began to rent their clothes. They sat in sackcloth and ashes. And they began to believe on God. And guess what Jonah did? Had himself a little pity party, goes outside the gates of the city and sits under a tree and begins to cry out and say, Lord, I did what you wanted me to, but I'm not happy about it. Guess what? You can fold your arms up. You can get mad. You can sulk. You can cry. You can kick the floor like a little kid. All you want to. But when God is in control and He gets what He wants, everybody will be satisfied. Amen. There's an old song that the Haley family sings. And it says, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied just to touch those nail-scarred hands. It says, if it's just a cabin on the side of the hill, I'll be satisfied. Every one of us this morning has something that we're not satisfied with. You may not be satisfied with this or that or the other, but I'll guarantee you this, someday we'll all be satisfied because God Himself and the Savior of the world will be in heaven and we'll be there with Him. There's a few more verses of Scripture that I have got to read this morning, and I realize that I've preached quite a while this morning, but I've got just a few more things that the Lord has laid upon my heart. Turn to the 139th Psalm. We have been here before. I've read to you different places in it. The 139th Psalm. It's the Psalm of David. We're going to stay in Psalms for just a few moments, so have your hands ready. We're going to turn in another moment. The 139th Psalm. I want you to understand something. I said that God is everywhere, and He is. He was there with that fish. He was there on the dry land. I want to read this to you, the 139th Psalm and the 8th verse. David said, if I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or the grave, behold, Thou art there. What does that mean, preacher? It means God is everywhere. Even in places that we think we should not be, God is everywhere. And I'm glad that He is. 145th Psalm. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't usually do this, but I've got to read this whole psalm. It's 21 verses, but I want all of you this morning, for just a few moments, look up from your Bibles. Turn there. Mark it. But I want you to listen to this psalm for just a moment. Every one of us. You think David, and I've told you this before, you think David didn't have some trials, tribulations, bad things didn't happen to you. I've told about his son that the Lord took away from him when he did what he did with Bathsheba. He took that son away, and David cried. He sat in those sackcloth and those ashes, and he cried and he wailed out to God, and he kept asking, God, why won't you heal this child? Why won't you make him okay? The child finally passed away, and David just got up. He gets up and he goes about his business, and the servants, they come in and they say, why are you this way? You have been so down and in destruction over this child, yet he dies and all of a sudden it's okay. This is his answer. He said, this child cannot come back to me, but I can go to him. Amen. David knew something about God, that God was good even in our bad times. God is good. God is good. Listen to me for just one more moment. Lift your eyes up. Don't look at your Bibles. Close your eyes if you have to. But listen to this psalm. Let your heart just sing this morning to Him. He says, I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Oh, my goodness. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Oh, generation shall praise Thy works to another and shall declare Thy mighty works. I will speak of Thy glorious honor, of Thy majesty, and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible or Thy great acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. Thou shalt abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness and shall sing of Thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. He said, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His work. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and all Thy saints shall bless Thee. They shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom and talk of Thy power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that are bowed down. Thy eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all of His ways and holy in all of His works. He says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, and to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry, and He will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all of the wicked will He destroy. Listen to this last verse. He says, my soul, my mouth, shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We shall praise God because God is good this morning. Jonah, even though he was in the pits of hell, could get out and say, I've seen one more day. When I am alone, great things happen. You know what happens when we get alone? We get desperate. Sometimes God has to remove everything from us. And He has to say, guess what? You need me. Sometimes we think, I can do this myself. Told you, Taylor likes Taylor's way. But guess what? God gets His way every time. And I'm glad. If you got your way every time, and it went away went against me every time, I'd be madder than an old wet hen out of a thunderstorm. But guess what? When God contradicts me, I'm happy about it. You say, preacher, that's a bold statement. Taylor don't know everything, but God does. What does that mean for us this morning? What does it mean for us? I'm not going to sing it to you. There's a song, and it says, when I am alone, when I am alone, when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have this whole world. You can have everything. You can be the richest person there is and have nothing without God.
Amen.
The last verse says, give me Jesus. You know what David said in that psalm? He said, you can have everything, but everything shall praise God. Give me Jesus. You can have everything I've got. I'll give you every dime that I have this morning. Give you the shirt, shoes on my feet, the clothes on my back. But I tell you something this morning, I want Jesus. There was one night, I've told it a million times, I'm going to tell it again this morning. There was one night I felt so alone by myself. There was a church full of people. I remember that night looking up there to that A Women Corner. There were all them good old sisters I loved. They could sing the house down. Boy, they could just make the rafters ring from heaven. And I felt so alone. Like nobody was there with me until the Lord came by and He said, remember me? I've been dealing with you all these years. Here I am. Give me Jesus. Boom! Peace came in and I've never been the same.
Amen.
Never been the same. All of us feel alone from time to time. You can either admit it or deny it. Every one of us have been in a room full of crowded people and felt all alone. There have been times I've been sitting in a church house and God's power would ring from one end to the other and I felt all alone. Even when I've done wrong, I'm not alone. You know, even when you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, guess who's there with you? God Himself.
Amen.
I'm glad this morning I'm not alone. You know, someday, as David said in that 139th Psalm, that 8th verse, he said, if I go to heaven, when I go to heaven, thou art there. He said, but if I make my bed, if I die, thou art there. Someday, oh, someday, the sweet release of death will find me. And even then, I will not be alone. You see, the veil is all that stands between this world and the next. It's just a transition. It's just a simple move. You say, preacher, it means we lose our lives. But Paul said, to die is gain. Oh, this morning, I'm looking forward to that day when I can go and see my Savior. The one who saved me from my sins. I like this verse of Scripture, 18th verse of this 145th Psalm. Because it fit me when I was lost. And it fits me today. I told you when I got down that night, when I got down that night, I began to pray. I felt alone. I could have called any of you. And I could have said, I need your help. Come over and talk to me. Not one of you could have done what God did. None of you could have come over and wrapped your arm around me quite like God could. That verse of Scripture, it says, the Lord is nigh. He's near unto all of them that call upon Him. Doesn't say if you just call upon Him. It says to them that call upon Him in what? In truth. God asks that we be sincere with Him. He's not asking for us to come to Him and say, look what I have done. Look how great I am. Just look at all of the mighty things that I've done. I could have went to Him and said, preacher or God, you know that I'm the pastor of Mount Calvary, and because of that, I deserve to preach like I want to preach every Sunday morning. So if you'll just grant that to me, we'll be good, okay? But no, we all have to understand one simple thing. When we come to God, we have to approach Him as if we're coming for the very first time. It says He's the high priest. It says, come boldly approaching the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. He's not saying, come tell me everything that you want. He says, come and ask me what I can do for you. He's not asking for us to come boldly saying, puffing out our chest and saying, look at me. I'm telling you, if I come to Him and said, I'm a preacher at Mount Calvary, He just said, I know, I'll put you there. You can say, God, I need this. He knows. But you know what He wants? As Uncle Jimmy said, and he was just spot on with what he said. He could have just preached. He wants us to ask him. If Jonah got in that fish and just sat out in there and said, well, I'm here, he'd get me out or I'll just die. He'd stay right there, he'd die. But guess what he did? He got to call on the Lord. We got 2017 in front of us, church. We need to sit here until we die. We need to start calling on the Lord and asking him what we can do for him. I'm not talking about just me, and I'm not talking about the deacons. I'm talking about every single one of you. Lord, what can I do for you? Not only here, what can I do for you every single day that I live? What's my job, Lord? Lord, help me. If you're content doing nothing, sitting on your seat of do nothing, and enjoying doing nothing, and God is not chastising you, bless your heart. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I never did enjoy spankings as a kid and I probably didn't get near as many of them as I should have. But I knew mom and dad loved me. When God does things to me that I don't understand, to my loved ones, to my friends, it's not that he doesn't love us. In fact, some of the things that happens to us is not chastisement. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But I sure did appreciate when God came by and spoke to me and just said, I love you. And I know you're not having a very fun time preaching right now, but I'll take care of you. And you know what I had to do? I couldn't say, well, I hope you do that. I said, Lord, I believe that. And God has helped me. It may not appear that way to you all, but inside it's helped me. When I am alone, give me Jesus. There are so many things I can't do by myself. Actually, I take that back. I can't do anything by myself. I need his help. So when I think about the things I cannot do alone, it's everything. I've got a song in my heart. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to ask us to sing it. It's in the church hymn. I'm going to ask Sister Faye if she'd come up and play it. Brother Colin will lead it. I believe it's 360. It's He whispers sweet peace to me.